Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's not just overtime. It's an NBA draft edition of overtime. Special night here, NBA draft coming up in a scant 28 minutes. I'm Chris Nockey, joined by my man Linnell Willingham behind the glass. Also, Zach Brook pitching in here too. And these guys disagreeing with pretty much everything I'm throwing out there, but I don't really give a damn. I got the mic here, you know? So, tough guys. Hey, okay, real quick. Test for you guys, all right? Give me the guy most likely to be traded tonight in the next 28 minutes. I'm going to give you a multiple choice. Buddy Hield, 16.5 points per game, knockdown shooter, has big money left on his contract. That is a consideration. 22.5 next year, 20 the year after that, 18. So he's got $60 million left on that deal. All right, he's option number one. Colin Sexton, talked about him earlier. Big numbers, 24.5 per game. Terrible metrics. The analytics do not favor young Colin, but it may be a function of the team that he plays with. Ben Simmons. Okay, Ben Simmons, he of the brutality, the brutal offensive game and the awful exit in the Philadelphia playoffs this year. And you know what? I'll throw Beal out there too, just because. And keep in mind here, too, I want to, before we do this, you got those four guys. I want to make sure that anybody who just tuned in is alerted to the fact that there is a trade pending, or at least speculation of a trade between the Wizards and the Lakers that involves Russell Westbrook to the Lakers for Kyle Kuzma, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Montrezl Harrell, and the 22nd pick of the draft. So we're waiting to hear on whether or not that happens. Obviously, that changes the dynamic for the Wizards in the draft room tonight, and you know, we'll see where that goes. All right, boys, you're on the clock. Who gets traded, and why?
Luke Ridnour is going first. I think he has to get moved every year. Is he even in the league anymore?
No, I don't think so. Luke Ridnour.
I'd probably just say
the pride of the Oregon Ducks.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think he got traded like 5 times in like 3 days, which like I'm hopefully he just waited 2 days before moving, because if not, like, you all must hate him. But probably have to go Buddy Hield. I think he really hasn't clicked since he got traded for Bogey a couple years ago, and they grabbed Halliburton last year. It was fantastic. It doesn't look like they're moving on from De'Aaron Fox anytime soon. And if they can net anything that maybe brings some front court help that they thought they were getting from Bagley, I think they do it.
All right, Linnell, what do you think?
Ben Simmons, and I feel like that's the only logical, I mean, the most logical answer of the four guys you listed, right? After Doc Rivers sat in front of the entire audience of America and said he didn't know if Ben Simmons could be a starting point guard in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You knew it was over. It was no shot. You can't bring him back into that locker room. Embiid made the comments he made. I don't think there's any scenario in which he doesn't. Tonight's the night to do it, I feel like.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with you, although I do think Buddy Hield is one of those guys. To me, he would be as attractive at a lower price point than Russell Westbrook would be for the Lakers, because he would spread the floor for LeBron and AD. Again, 41% career three-point shooter, consistent shooter, a guy who plays regularly. And, you know, again, he's half the price of Russ, and he's a little bit younger as well. But Ben Simmons has to go. He must be traded. I don't know how you bring that guy back into that locker room with that team, given the way the year ended and all the nonsense afterwards. Not just Doc's comments, but, I mean, Philadelphia savaged that guy. The media fans, message boards. I mean, if he goes back there and he makes good, then he's the toughest MF-er mentally that you'll ever see. Because what they did was brutalize that guy.
He's already shown he's not that.
No, he's not. and one of the problems is that he's never learned to leave that comfort zone. You know, evidently he works out with just his guys, doesn't really stretch his game that way where he's adventurous in terms of the group that he's with, in terms of the group he's working out with, that sort of thing. I just have no idea how you bring a guy like that back in the locker room. Now, as I mentioned early on, they have been smoking weed with what they want with those, what they've proposed in trades for Ben Simmons. It's just not going to get what they first wanted. But you have to start somewhere. You know, there's a starting point to every negotiation. And as crazy as it was with the Warriors, when you get closer and closer to the draft, I think Philadelphia's going to be much more inclined to move.
But what do you think the asking price, the starting asking price, should be for him?
Okay, I think he's very good. I've not been in Doc's shoes where I had him in practice every day, but he's a phenomenal defender. He's a good enough ball handler. You get him out on the break, he's very good. It boggles my mind that he's been in the league as long as he has been, and he's below 50% from the free throw line. That has to change. And every coach by definition thinks he's a social worker and a miracle worker. Every coach, and they always think it's going to be different with me. And so that's why there is definitely a market out there. He is a 6'9" freight train. He's probably taller than 6'9", but
6'10",
I think. He's 6'10". He's an absolute freight train from the LeBron James school of freight trains. And so I refuse to believe that he's not fixable. I just don't know what the appropriate price point is for him, you know?
I mean, like, without the jumper right now, he's Royce White. So, like, I feel like that's just...
He's better than Royce White isn't in conversation to be the defensive player of the year.
That's because he wouldn't get on planes, but that's the only reason.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, I think there's two schools of thought. There's people that think they can fix the jump shot, and in that case, Philly thinks they can net more, and there's people that think he's a finished product, and he's Draymond Green who's not willing to shoot. And if you're trying to get the former, you can ask for more, but if people think this is a finished product, they're not going to be willing to give away 4 first-round picks.
Oh, well, 4 was way out of control. Yeah, but I think that in the right situation, and if I were a team, for instance, where my draft picks were back half every year, you know, if I'm drafting 15 to 30 every year, I'd certainly give up a couple of first-rounders for him. Because, you know, those are, you know, the guys like Jokic don't come along. You know, I mean, that's hitting the lottery in the draft right there. But if I were a team that were, like I said, just kind of in that back half of the draft, I'd definitely give up picks for the guy. And if I had collateral, I would do that too. I obviously have to make salaries work. You know, you have to, you know, all that has to match up. But I don't think he's irredeemable. I just think he's irredeemable in Philadelphia. You know, it's tough, man. It's a brutal sports town, and it's a brutal business, you know. And these guys are now, the way the world works, social media, they're graded, and oftentimes harshly, right after every game. There are 82 grading periods for an NBA player, right, or 81 or whatever that number is. And then you go into the playoffs where now every game is magnified, you know. And it's a bitch. It is an absolute bitch. But that's why you get paid the way they do. The average salary in the NBA, I think, now is over $7 million. They're going to be all okay with it. So Zach, you had some things you wanted to kind of kick around. You want some player comparison ideas?
Yeah. So I've got my idea. I'm going to call them dial up, draft comps, because my internet's not really working on my phone right now. So we're going to get to it when we get to it. But yeah, it's always fun to kind of compare guys that you really haven't seen too much of and kind of see who they could be.
All right. So, let's pick a guy. How about we go, how about top of the draft?
I was saying to Linnell, with Cade Cunningham, I think he kind of has he's not as athletic as a Ben Simmons, and he's not as good of a shooter as maybe like a Tatum, but he's somewhere in the mix of both of those, and I think that's why he's really intriguing to Detroit. But it's going to be very interesting. Like, he's shown he'll take the shot, so I want him more than Ben Simmons. He's not afraid to shoot, and he can handle, and he's a matchup nightmare. And Detroit needs anything they can get right now. So obviously, I'm very interested to see when the pick is on, when Detroit is on the clock. They've already said they're taking him. I wonder if they use all 10 minutes. So I'm very interested about that, or if they just say, all right, yeah, we're taking him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see anybody clamoring to move up to number one, although he's kind of a unanimous number one. But, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens there. I think he's got a – you mentioned the two guys, you know, Tatum and as comps. I think he's got a little – he's got a real feel for the game. He's ambidextrous. He's, you know, he's a great passer. I think he's also a winner. I think he's got this sort of the intangible part. And one of the reasons why I think Detroit would want a guy like that is because he's going to make guys better. And he's a great kind of a building block. You were going to say something, Linnell. I'm sorry.
His last name should be Ball, I feel like. He has that type of impact on the game. Exactly. Yeah. Seasoned, fluid guy, great athlete. And the size at the point guard position is – that's what's really drawing the teams to him.
Yeah. He's also got a great lawn. That fro works for me. I mean, it's kind of a throwback look. I think he's legit. I think he's going to be a great player. Give me a comp. Give me Jalen Suggs.
I'm trying to think who I like at his kind of size, because he got 6'5". He's not really great at one thing, but he can do a little bit of everything. I can't really put my finger on it. Maybe like, here's, it's a reach, but Ginobili?
Oh. So you're breaking the comp mold, too. You're going black guy to white guy.
I don't think it matters. If you can play, you can play.
I love Ginobili.
I got a comp for Suggs. I think he's got some Donovan Mitchell in his game.
I think there's something to that. Yeah. And you know what? I never thought of Donovan Mitchell when I watched him in college as a guy who would be an NBA point guard. And I think he's got more point guard abilities than I ever thought he did. Does he shoot it like Donovan Mitchell? Because Donovan Mitchell's got range. He is, and part of that is developed. He didn't come into the league with that range.
Exactly. And I was saying more of the standpoint of the ability to get downhill.
Yeah.
You know, and play above the rim though. So.
Well, the level of athleticism, and you know, it's funny, man. You talk about guy. You say a guy's really athletic. It's the freaking NBA. Every one of these guys is a total freak of nature. And it's just some guys sort of take it to the next level. Have you guys seen either of the G League guys play?
I'm actually loading YouTube now to get my scouting report in.
Okay.
I haven't, but
Green or Kuminga?
I see the dunk highlights from Jalen Green.
Yeah.
And they say Kuminga jumps out the gym too.
Yeah, just electric athletes. I have not seen enough of those guys, and yet – I know that Green is there was some speculation as recent as a couple of weeks ago that you know that the Pistons may in fact consider taking Green. Now I think that's gone by the wayside because of, like I said, because all the intangibles that they see in Cunningham. But you know, Cunningham sort of was anointed the number one pick of the draft about 6 months ago. You know, this is not anything new. All right, we're going to take a little break here. We got Zach with us, and Linnell's with us as always. I'm Chris Nockey. You're listening to a special overtime edition for the NBA draft, which happens now in T-minus 15 minutes.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We'll be right back. I'm Chris Knocke. Linnell Willingham is with me. Zach Brook as well. We are kicking around a bunch of things. Lots going on in sports, period, not just the NBA. Man, oh, man, still paying attention to Max Scherzer and what in the world is going on with him. I'm reading a report from Dodger Blue magazine where they are saying that while there was purportedly a deal in place for the San Diego Padres, nothing was finalized, and as a result, the Dodgers are jumping in and trying to get Scherzer, and they're also asking for Daniel Hudson as a part of the deal. Hudson just recently put on IL with COVID-related issues. So there's a lot going on. That trade deadline, 4 p.m. tomorrow. Something is imminent there. And looking at the way Max, after he left the game today, the first game today against Philadelphia, and the hugs that he was giving teammates in the locker room, the high fives and fist bumps, looks like Max knew that that was his last start in the uniform, which is sad. But again, this is part of the process of getting your organization better, healthier, younger, and they're a team that really needs to do all they can to do all those things. But we've been kicking around some things with the NBA, and you know, there's a proposed trade with Russell Westbrook. We've heard nothing about that in terms of it being finalized to this point in time. That was a Woj bomb that came out right before we got on the air. And I think it took a lot of people by surprise simply because of all the speculation about Bradley Beal over the last week, two, three. I mean, Brad is one of those guys because of his profile, because of the fact that he plays here in D.C. There's always going to be speculation. Every year there's speculation about him going elsewhere. And it may have come down to something as simple as Russell Westbrook asking out and Bradley Beal asking to stay in. And you also don't know if those two things are related. I mean, they seem to get along just fine. Certainly better than Beal and John Wall did, I think. I think that's safe to say. Just a remarkable three-month run or so by Russell Westbrook. But it would appear, if you believe what you read online, that those days are numbered at this point in time. Which, you know, the good news is for the Wizards, it's a $44 million hit. That you're able to move away from. I'm sort of struck by, and again, fellas, these guys, the average NBA salary is right at $7 million, right? So I'm not crying for any of these guys. But if you're Kyle Kuzma and you're Caldwell Pope out there in L.A., you have been shopped to every team in the NBA by this point in time. Wizards just happen to be the takers, if that trade goes through. But how does that impact you? I mean, does it mean that Kuzma can't date a Kardashian now, or what does that mean?
I have faith for Kuzma. I think Kuzma is in a situation where he needs a change of scenery, maybe, because the guy's 6'8 and can put the ball in the bucket. Like, he's got a spot in the NBA.
Yeah.
I just think he needs to be in the right situation, the right coaching staff, and the right team. I don't think he was mature enough to be a piece of the Lakers.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And he is a good he's athletic as well, too. You know, I mean, I've always wondered, though, if, you know, he seemed to be one of those things that was really alluring, but I just was never sure if he was very good. You know, I think he just looks better than he probably actually is. If that, you know, and I have a sort of a looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane sort of a thing, you know. I don't know if that's fair or not, but it's just an observation. So, I don't know. Zach, what are your thoughts?
Wasn't he like that Summer League?
Yeah, MVP.
Was he the league or the finals?
Summer League MVP, I believe.
That's worth a lot on the trade market to me.
Yeah, you think?
So, I mean, like, I think he's better than he thinks he – I think he's not as good as he thinks he is, but we can see, like, he can score, and he doesn't play defense, so I understand why Washington wants him. So,
well, I mean, that's a problem for that team. They're flawed. They're flawed in that way too. I mean, even LeBron at his age, you know, he doesn't defend like he, and not that he was ever your lockdown guy anyways. but he always had a certain level of athleticism where he could make some pretty dynamic plays, including he made one of the great plays in NBA Finals history with a chase down block in the NBA Finals of Andre Iguodala. You know, that still goes down as one of the great defensive plays ever made. It's funny though, but I saw proposed trades over the last 4 or 5 days. Every one of them involved Kyle Kuzma and KCP. Like, they can't get these guys out of town fast enough. And maybe they feel like they've seen enough of the Kyle Kuzma experiment. Maybe they feel like KCP's a bit of a one-trick pony, you know? And at this point in time, got to move on, got to get better, got to get different. And who's calling that shot? Is it Rob Pelinka? Is it LeBron James?
I mean, KCP was the Lakers' third best player, arguably, in the bubble. I mean, this year was just kind of a wash for him, though.
Yeah. You know, you think about, it's funny you bring that up. Think about the bubble. And, you know, the one real true thing that happened that came out of the bubble is the best team during the course of that bubble was Phoenix, and it served them well coming into the season, right? I mean, it was a nice ramp up, but they still didn't make the playoffs in the bubble. So you look back at some of the things that happened in the bubble, like Miami getting to the finals. I mean, there were a lot of anomalies that occurred in that situation that I think in a regular NBA season where you got full rosters, full teams playing, I don't know necessarily that those things play out the same way. And I'm not taking anything away from Miami. I mean, hell, to get to an NBA final under any circumstances is just an awesome, awesome thing. All right, so we're 5 minutes away. We got Detroit ready to step up on the clock at the top of the hour. Question is, do they come out and just spill the guts right now? Do they sit on the phones and act like they're fielding trade talks? I don't think they're fielding any trade talks. I think they know their man is Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State, likely to be the first pick of the draft, followed by, you know, pretty much everybody. The consensus is Jalen Green on the other side of that, Mobley. And then Jalen Suggs. The question happens to be what happens is what starts at number five. Where does Orlando go with this? And then all of a sudden, dominoes start to fall. And, you know, the closer and closer you get to the Wizards at 15, while there are a lot of guys projected for this team, most of them shooters, there might be somebody that comes available that is just too good to turn down. You know, a Davion Mitchell type or a big that they hadn't considered, might be on the market. Because this is still a team. Remember, they had a three-headed center last year. None of them were good enough. They have Thomas Bryant coming back. I don't know if he's big enough. So you've got issues kind of across the board that you need to address. And while you want a shooter, sometimes you just got to get that best player available. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the draft will be on, and we'll pay attention. Also, keeping an eye on Twitter just to see what's going on, because some of these trades, some of these proposed NBA trades, if they're going to happen, we're going right up to the wire here, about 3 minutes left. I'm Chris Nagy, special edition of Overtime, NBA Draft edition of Overtime. We'll be right back. It is indeed Overtime, special NBA Draft edition of Overtime. I'm Chris Nagy, joined by Zach Brook. My man, we got plenty of help in here, too. We've got Linnell Willingham is with us as well behind the glass. You know, watching the parade of NBA players come into the draft room, they introduced them one by one. It was a little bit of a red carpet situation. And all these guys, of course, all of them have money to spend now, and they are fashion templates. Here we are in T-shirts and sweats, and these guys are wearing lots of expensive clothes. But it did feel like a little red carpet situation, and sometimes the wardrobe gets a little bit wilder every year. Zaire Williams, from what I saw from Stanford, won the Haberdashery Award here. But Adam Silver just welcomed everybody. Pistons are now on the clock. They've got 10 minutes to make a pick. We'll see what they do, whether they wait. I mean, the idea is they will go. The consensus is Cade Cunningham is their guy. Oh, I like it. Nice job. There was speculation, though, internally that the Pistons really struggled before they decided on Cunningham. The idea was that there were some guys internally that really liked Green and that athleticism. Evan Mobley was a popular guy as well because he can do so many different things for you. Ultimately, Cunningham won the day in the war room. And if anybody's going to move up to number one, you would think it would be the teams just behind them, whether it's Houston at 2, Cleveland at 3. But, I mean, Houston seems very content to get Jalen Green, by all reports. A nice consolation prize there as well. And there's some speculation, too, that a team like OKC, who's got multiple draft picks in this draft, would move up to try and get the third pick of the draft and, you know, in turn give Cleveland really a number of picks that they have available. But hey, we'll see what happens. And then on the other hand, you've got all these trades that are pending / imminent / maybe happening. Wizards trying to move Russell Westbrook to L.A. You would think that with the Wizards pick in here, probably, you know, in the 9 o'clock hour, you would think that that trade would have to be consummated before the Wizards pick, obviously, because that's going to dictate who you pick. Now, I haven't seen anything on that of late.
Yeah, but Woj was saying that that's the hang-up right now in the deal is the draft compensation in return for Washington, whether or not it's going to be a second-round pick or a first-round pick. So
it's interesting you say that because when I first saw it, when I saw the first Woj bomb, I was very surprised at that first-round pick being included.
Yeah, me too.
That's a haul. That's
consolation prize.
Yeah, that's an and is the quality of the pick that you get at 22 dramatically worse than the one you get at, you know, 15? I mean, that's a good that would be a nice pick for those guys if they could pull it, but remains to be seen. And so I think the second round pick is going to be the one that wins out. Right now, when the wheels start turning like this and you create that kind of momentum, it's hard to go back. You know, both teams want to get this done.
Exactly.
You know, so we'll see what happens. Also, keep an eye on other things. You know, there's some other guys, NBA guys, without the profile or the reputation of Russell Westbrook, guys who look like they're going to be moved. Terrence Ross looks like he's going to be moving from Orlando to the Knicks in a reported trade. The oft-traded Mason Plumlee looks like he's going elsewhere, too. I mean, guys like that, you'll see a lot of movement with peripheral-type players. And I think Plumlee's traded for a second-round pick. But at any rate, there's so many moving parts here. And the fact of the matter is that Detroit is just the first step here. You know, I think within the hour, you're going to see what happens at like 4 and 5, Scotty Barnes versus Jalen Suggs, for instance. I think Scotty Barnes is going to be a star if he ever learns to shoot the basketball, even a little bit. And you wonder if he's going to be more like, somebody who's just not going to develop as a, because NBA guys now really have to play. They have to be able to shoot, to score. That's just the nature of the game. So is he going to be a guy that you can count on to do that, or is he going to be Ben Simmons?
You know who else he feels like? He feels like Justice Winslow.
I think he's bigger, though, right? Yeah. I mean, he's
the facilitator moniker.
Yeah, yeah. I liked Winslow initially when he came out. I thought he was going to be a better NBA player. I like Barnes's kind of all-around game. I think that if he were shooting the basketball even a little bit, he would have snuck into the top four conference. And he may be the fifth pick of the draft. I just think he's got an enormous upside. You guys got a sleeper in this draft? Somebody you're dying to see sneak into the top 12, top 13.
I don't know about top 12, but I did like that kid from Ohio. The kid who was like,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
he's
yeah,
a facilitator. And
he played great in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, not top 12, but like if you get him like bottom, like 25 to 30, I don't think like him. I love Jared Butler. I thought he seems like a kind of guy who's just kind of like give you a scoring punch off the bench. He's gonna be in the league for a long time. Those kind of guys really intrigue me.
Butler is a skilled guy. Now, he's not a terribly big guy. And he doesn't play with a ferocity that, you know, that Mitchell does, that Davion Mitchell does, but he's certainly more skilled offensively, without question. What about you, Linnell?
I love me some Kai Jones out of Texas.
Do you? Man.
I do. I think modern-day traits with the ability to switch as a big. He shot the three decent, 38% as a sophomore.
Yeah.
So I think he's just big and long and the really one of the projects of the draft, but I think he's got high upside.
Here we go. Detroit Pistons making the pick. I'm going to tell you a story about Texas here momentarily, but with the first pick of the draft, my man Adam Silver is out there. And it is Cade Cunningham. No surprise there. He's got a little one on his lap. Good for him. So, Texas. Texas was my sleeper pick in the NCAA pool. They were a 3 seed. I saw them play a couple of times. They were young, but they were so athletic, and they could really play. And they played in a tough league, which made them kind of battle-tested. And, man, did they go out the first day. Some, like, my pool is shot in the first, few hours. So I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. Really? Bray broke my heart, man. Yeah, I want to win something like that. But he's certainly an athletic guy. You know, there's so many guys in this draft that also, you know, they go to the combine and they test off the charts. You know, and they a kid from Tennessee, Keon. You know, I mean, Keon Johnson went through the ceiling with his measurables when you go to the draft. And so, you know, it's funny. You penalize a kid like Chris Duarte for staying in school, like Aaron Wiggins at Maryland for staying in school. Same thing happened with Gravis Vasquez. He stayed in school maybe a year too long.
Is Varun Ram still there? I know he stayed for a while.
Varun Ram's jersey is going to hang in those rafters, man.
In Springfield.
Yeah, really. Exactly. So, you know, the thing is, Duarte gets penalized for sticking around. And now Keon Johnson gets he gets hyped because of what he did in the, you know, what amounts to the standing vertical jump. And it's impressive. I mean, the level of athleticism is just crazy. And it's impressive. But I'm not sure he's the basketball player that, you know, a finished product is like those guys. And again, guys like that get penalized in spite of it. So the versatility of Cade Cunningham wins out, wins the day. Detroit takes him. No surprise there. I would expect that Houston follows suit here very, very quickly. They're on the clock. And Jalen Green would appear to be that guy. What are your thoughts on Kispert for the Wiz, fellas? Because I have a feeling it might come down to taking Corey Kispert in that spot at 15 for them.
If he can come in and be their bona fide sharpshooter, I think it's a match made in heaven. I worry about they need more guys to be able to create.
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of what he lacks in his game.
Kind of reminded me of Buddy Hield a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Although he's legitimate 6'7", you know. And again, Kispert, much like Duarte, you know, he played in college 4 years. He stuck around. And, I mean, I reward him for that. I'm not going to penalize him for it. And it may be just that, too, that you seek a finished product as opposed to somebody that you're, you know, more than likely making a wager on, as they would be with some of the other guys. But, yeah, we'll see. Kispert, though, they could do a lot worse for sure. I just think that a lot of it is going to be dictated by this trade. If, in fact, it happens, then point guard is back on the board, right? I mean, it becomes a position of need. It also means maybe that you start packaging guys so that you can pick a point guard up elsewhere and use that draft pick for the player that you really want, you know, that shooter that you really want, the college kid that you're dying to get. All right. We come back. We should have Houston's pick on by the time we get back. They're up on the clock right now. This is a special NBA draft edition of Overtime. Are you hearing it here first? Breaking news. This is Overtime, special NBA draft edition. I'm Chris Nockey. Linnell Willingham, also Zach Brook with us as well. And, you know, consummation of any kind is, generally speaking, a good thing. The Wizards have consummated that trade with the LA Lakers. And Linnell, correct me if I'm wrong here. In exchange for Russell Westbrook, the Wizards will pick up Kyle Kuzma, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Montrezl Harrell, the number 22 pick this evening, tonight. In addition, they get what?
A 2028 second-round pick and a 2024 second-round pick.
All right, I'm digging this. I am totally into this. I'm 100% behind it. And I was into it before you threw in the second rounders. That is the icing on the proverbial draft cake. I'm into it. Zach, you're not? Yeah, no. Lukewarm?
I mean, I don't think you got better. I don't think you really got worse. Like, I think you had a blue chip. I wouldn't say, I mean, like, you had a former MVP, a guy who you know is going to be a that's fair to say he's a top 10 point guard, and you're getting guys that they've been shopping for 6 months.
You lose,
come on, Zach.
You create some salary cap relief for yourself because you're going to lose that Westbrook contract. Not a bad deal.
The damn Washington Wizards.
Go ahead. What are you thinking? You like it?
I love it. It's the first step at creating the mess that Tommy kind of created himself anyway. I mean, it was good to get Russell. You had to get off John.
Whoa. Tommy's responsible for it too, because he was a part of it with Ernie, right? Mm-hmm. And so the mess started with John Wall, with the fact that they I'm not going to say they had to do it, but Ernie was in that situation where I think he felt like he had to do it, unfortunately. But at any rate, it got done, and I think it's a fantastic deal for the local team. You know, you think about this, fellas. Think about this week, just in the last 4 or 5 days. Who are your most popular athletes in this city right now? Okay, I'll throw in Chase Young probably on the, for the WFT. Ovi, of course, right? Westbrook and Beal. Max and Trey Turner. Maybe your most popular athletes in town. Who else would you add?
And Soto. Probably throw Soto.
Soto, of course.
Soto's on there. McLaurin's got a big... For a fun fact about Chase Young, I know they announced the top 50 jersey sales for all across the NFL over the past 2 months, and Chase Young was the top defensive player in the league in terms of jersey sales.
Interesting.
We'd love to hear that.
Well, where I'm going with this is... That's a list that, 4 or 5 days ago, you're thinking, yeah, it's great to have those guys, big names here. Half of those guys are gone. I mean, we're reading right now, and Linnell, you can sort of, because you got your eye on Twitter right now, there's speculation now that the Dodgers not only have made a proposal for Max Scherzer, but also for Trey Turner as well.
Yeah, it's from Jeff Pass, an MLB insider for ESPN reporting that the Dodgers are making, quote-unquote, significant progress on a deal that would send them all-star right-hander Max Scherzer along with shortstop Trey Turner.
I'm for the Scherzer because I think you get a haul for him. You move Trey Turner right now, just feels to me like the Nats are going to nat. You know, it's just what they do. And at the end of the day, there's a failure to pay. There's a failure. And I thing that worries me, and this is a basketball show, but I digress because I'm on the mic. Okay, they're going to wait. Soto's going to go to, on the market, and they'll never beat out the Dodgers or the Padres or the Giants, and all of a sudden you lose out on everybody that you ever had. It's mind-boggling to me, but it's amazing what can happen in a short period of a couple of days. You get Ovi to re-up. That's as big a surprise to me as all of them because you got 5 years.
All the stuff that happened this week.
44. How old is he now?
No, he's 35. He'll be 40 when the.
That we know.
But he's clearly not the same guy speed wise. He gets a puck stolen from him regularly. I mean, he's, again, you get rewarded for what you've done in the uniform. I don't. And it's $9 million a year. I suppose that's a lot. Certainly is it's not a lot for Linnell, but I mean for a guy who's accomplished what he has, you got to give it to him for sure. But it what a sea change in a short period of a couple of days, and you could see some of it coming. But boy, the worm turned fast for the Nats in the last 10 days, and I mean it's just incredible how things will move now. NBA, again, Jalen Green went second to Houston, as we all sort of figured that they would. The idea is that, Mobley, and I don't know if that pick was already made. Mobley appeared to be a lock for Cleveland.
Yep, they drafted him.
They drafted him. So Jalen Suggs looks like he would be the number four guy up, kind of the natural pick here as well. And then it becomes kind of a crapshoot. Guys will sort of take some surprises. James Bouknight from UConn was one of those guys that I saw him this year. Maryland played UConn in the tournament. Didn't do anything against Maryland's defense. But, again, he's a guy who went to the combine in Chicago and lit it up and did really well with his individual workouts when he was, entertained by different teams. And those things will be different difference makers. And ESPN now reporting that pick or that trade – the Wizards and the Lakers. They still got it as a proposed trade, but we've got pretty good indication that deal is done. So now you're in that Wizards war room, and it is pivot time. It's pivot time. Go ahead.
So Shams Charania is now reporting that Scotty Barnes is the pick at Toronto at number 4. So Suggs is available at 5. If you're the Wizards, you cash in both those picks and try to go grab
Dylan
Suggs?
But is that enough to get the 5 pick?
Sorry.
The 5 pick is owned by Orlando, I think.
Give him Beal.
You're just throwing guys out. Well, I mean, Orlando is in, obviously, they're in desperate need of assets, you know, and I think the attraction also for Orlando is that this Scotty Barnes is going to be gone. So I was going to say, I think they really wanted Barnes as a Florida State kid playing there, but now.
Did they learn with Jonathan Isaac?
Yeah. Yeah. And who knows if Isaac is going to be back and healthy this year. It was pretty horrific.
He was starting to come on.
Injury.
Too.
Yeah. No. And a quality human being, quality kid. And I think he's a guy that you want representing your franchise. And so now, as you said, the pick is in. And for number 4, Adam Silver, and it's Scotty Barnes. Wow, interesting call there. So Suggs is the first guy to drop. We talk about guys dropping, dominoes falling, and that's exactly what we got right here. I would never have thought it was Jalen Suggs. And again, what a difference a period of time makes. Jalen Suggs was a rock star coming off of that NCAA tournament. I thought he was the best player by a mile in that NCAA tournament. And yet, you know, whether it's a metrics thing, whether it's a size thing, whether it's a versatility thing, Scotty Barnes ends up being the 4th pick of the draft. And there's certainly no shame in being the 5th pick of the draft. I got to imagine that that's what you'll see here with Orlando coming up. But again,
do you think they'd pass on him knowing they just extended Fultz and they took Greg Anthony's kid last year?
Well, that's a good question. And that's where I was just going to say the wheels are turning, not just with the Wizards. Anybody who's got draft collateral, I would think, whether you're OKC, now the Wizards have draft collateral. If, in fact, that trade is a done deal, I think that Orlando would probably be compelled. Would you trade Orlando? You would probably trade Orlando those 2 picks and any one of the guys you got in the trade, right? Any one of the guys you got from the Lakers.
KCP is a foundational piece. I don't think.
Yeah. Well, you never have enough guys with 3 initials. You never do. I mean, as a general rule, I think that's important. So, all right, we're going to take a break. We got some guys on the clock. Scotty Barnes gets picked 4th. Orlando is up next. Got to believe Jalen Suggs is that pick, but we will see surprises already starting. You're listening to a special edition of Overtime. I'm Chris Nockey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.